Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Greetings, I'm Tom Gilson. Today we hear the third and final portion of Daniel Reeve's talk to youth at the 2020 Dallas Science and Faith Conference. In previous segments, he's identified some major misconceptions about intelligent design. He's defined ID as its actual proponents understand the term, and he's begun to explain how they go about identifying intelligent design in nature. That part of his lecture continues here as he explains two other key terms, specified complexity and the explanatory filter, both of which can provide reliable indicators in nature of that kind of design which implies a mind behind it.
Specified complexity is kind of a complicated sounding term, but it's quite simple. It's just two words put together. This is how William Dembski summarizes it in one of his books. He says, when intelligent agents act, so that could be you, it could even be, say, an animal that has some form of intelligence, or something with superintelligence. When intelligent agents act, they leave behind a characteristic trademark or signature known as specified complexity. By recognizing this feature, we can distinguish intelligently designed objects from those that are a result of unintelligent natural forces. Remember, it's not all features of the world that are designed, it's certain features that are best explained by design. Okay, things that aren't designed don't have both of those features. So what are we talking about? Specificity and complexity. Well, specificity is basically the opposite of randomness, okay? Something's either random or it's specified. Specified means that you specify what it's going to be. It's not just a random arrangement, it's specified. The second word, complexity, is basically the opposite of simplicity. Something's either simple or it's complex, okay? So far, so good. So let me demonstrate how you apply these two things together. And I'm gonna do that using a string of letters. And we're gonna see whether it's specified or complex and or both of those. Okay, the first string of letters is this. The. Okay. Would you say that that first string of letters is specified at all? Is it specified? Yeah? It's specified because it's not just completely random. The is an actual word, right? It's an actual word in our language, and so it's specified, but is it complex? No, it's pretty simple. It's the. So if it's specified but not complex, does it carry a lot of information? Does that tell you a lot of information? Not really. If I saw that, I'd be like, what is that communicating to me? I don't know. Another scenario would be this. Look at this string of letters. And I won't tell you that I achieved this by, oh, I just told you. Okay, by going like this on my keyboard. Okay. Is that string of letters specified? No. No, it's completely random. It's completely random. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. It's random, but at the same time, is it complex? Yes, it's extremely complex. And when I say complex, I mean, like, what are the chances that I went like this and got that string of letters, and then you went like this and you got that same string of letters? Highly unlikely, because that is a very complex series of letters. So once again, if it's specified but it's not complex, then it doesn't carry a lot of information. Likewise, if it's complex but it's not specified, it doesn't carry a lot of information. The third scenario is this. This sentence contains valuable information. Is this specified? Okay, right, because it's not random, it's actual words. Is it complex? Yes, so it's both specified and complex, which means it carries actual, meaningful information. That is a sentence that means something to us, right? So just to give you an idea of how this crosses over into the study of, say, biochemistry or any kind of science, I'm going to use an example from astronomy or astrobiology. And that is, has anyone heard of the program SETI, S-E-T-I, SETI? Does anyone know what it stands for? Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. Okay, it's called SETI, and essentially what we're doing is we're searching for signs of extraterrestrial life and spending a lot of money on it. And do you guys want to see what the most promising signal we have received from outer space to date is? As far as I've heard, this is the most promising signal we've received from outer space. Now think about the terms specified and complex and ask yourself, does this seem both specified and complex to you? Because that's what it would have to be a sign of intelligence. That's exactly what the SETI program officers are looking for, is a sign of specified complexity. Okay. Do you see it circled right there? 6EQUJ5. Ooh, just gives me chills looking at it. It's so complex and specified. They literally, this became, because it was the most promising signal, it became known as the wow signal. Because someone in their little journal circled and goes, wow, that is unusual. I'm just used to seeing like one, blink, 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 one, two, 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 one, blank. And I just saw 6EQUJ5. Okay. Now, I don't want to ridicule because, I'll be honest, I don't know exactly how to read these like radio outputs, right, and know exactly how to interpret that, but it gives me some idea of the level of specified complexity that would be assigned to intelligence by real scientists, right? So if that's the case, if that's their standard, then let's compare that with, instead, just as an example, the human genome, which is 3 billion base pairs long. 3 billion, the SETI signal was those 6 characters, okay? This is a 3 billion base pair sequence. And the first question I would ask you is, do you think that this is just a tiny, tiny, tiny little snapshot of the human genome. Do you think that that little snapshot right there is complex? So it's only 4 letters, right? There are only 4 letters that represent the nucleotides in the human genome. But it's extremely complex because what are the chances that you could get that same sequence randomly without trying, okay? But then the other question is, you might be like, okay, I give it to you, it's complex. But is it specified? Is that specified? Do you think it's specified? Because, you know, to an untrained eye, you might look at that and be like, it looks super random to me, A-A-A-G-G-T-C-C-G-A. You know, like that just doesn't carry much meaning to me. But if you knew, which Darwin didn't know because he didn't even know what all this wasn't a thing at the time, if Darwin knew that that genome was interpreted by a very specific code called the genetic code, which basically, through a series of molecular machinery, converts the nucleotide code into an amino acid code, which makes proteins, that then form the basis of all of your cells and the machinery that makes you you, makes you function. If he knew that that information, interpreted through a genetic code, produced a living body like ourselves, I think you might say that was pretty specified, right? It's very specified that this sequence translates to this amino acid sequence that makes a protein that folds up just perfectly to digest gluten in your body, for example. That's extremely specified. It's the most specified, complex and specified piece of information that I've ever heard of in my life, right? If you think of something more complex and specified, let me know. The sad thing is this, you would think with this information that we have today, you would no longer have anyone that believed that we are just the product of you know, undirected natural selection. You would think. But unfortunately, even the co-discoverer of the genetic code, the co-discoverer of the structure of DNA, Francis Crick quoted this. This is after he has discovered, co-discovered, the structure of DNA as this genetic code with Watson. He said, biologists must constantly keep in mind what they see was not designed, but rather evolved. Now, why would he say something like that? They must constantly keep in mind. Why do you have to constantly keep it in mind if it's so obvious? Because all the evidence is pointing towards this intelligence, but he's like, okay, wait, I know it looks like intelligence, but must keep in mind that this is not intelligently designed, this is evolved. That's interesting, right, that he says that. It's sad, actually. I think it's really sad that even he who discover this amazingly complex thing in ourselves could still say, okay, I have to remind myself it's just evolved. Okay, and I have to give creds to Rosalind Franklin and Maurice Wilkins because they were also the co-discoverers and no one ever mentions them, so shout out. Okay, final thing here. I'm going to give a quick overview of what the explanatory filter is, and then I can tell you a book where you can read all about it, and it's really fascinating. Okay, so the explanatory filter is basically taking this, the idea of specified complexity, combining it with a deeper level of the understanding of the of like information theory, and also talking about how there are certain things in nature that are actually the result not of chance or of design, but actually of a third thing called necessity. So basically, like the way a water crystal forms into a snowflake or something like that, it's actually based on sort of like just the necessity of the structure of H2O under certain conditions, and it just necessarily brings about a certain kind of structure, okay? So the explanatory filter addresses those three scenarios: necessity, design, and chance. And it tries to rule out chance and necessity in order to show that something was truly designed, okay? So basically you take an event or an object in nature, and you feed it through this filter, and you ask a series of questions about this event. And each question will either rule out or will say that something was the result of necessity, or it will say it was the result of chance. And if it passes all those tests, then you can affirm that it was the result of design. And if we have time in the Q&A or afterwards, I can give kind of an example of how you would use this kind of approach. So you rule out these others, and you end up with design. So I hope that, I know this was kind of a rushed introduction, but I hope that this gives you an idea of how intelligent design is not this sort of wave of the hand, you know, look at the starry night sky, there must be a designer, which I affirmed is a valid intuition, right? But at the same time, it's not just that. It's a very mathematical approach to looking at, or empirical approach, to looking at evidence in nature and saying, can I rule out chance and necessity and affirm that this, the best explanation for this phenomenon in nature is design. Does that make sense? Okay, so those were our three basic questions. Why do we need another theory of life's origins, right? We kind of addressed the history of Darwin's idea, his theory. What is intelligent design not? So it's not just creationism repackaged, it's a totally different approach. And what is intelligent design? Again, we defined it as this theory that certain aspects of nature that we observe are best explained by intelligent design and not undirected processes like natural selection.
That was Daniel Reeves delivering the last portion of a talk for the youth track at the 2020 Dallas Science and Faith Conference. For the two previous recorded portions of his talk, go to idthefuture.com and search for Daniel Reeves. That's R-E-E-V-E-S, Daniel Reeves. For ID of the Future, I'm Tom Gilson. Thanks for joining us here today.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID of the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org and idthefuture.com.